Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Somehow God is in me, and there's a sense in which I am like God and man all at once.
Many religions claim that we will all eventually be gods. The Bible says something so much better. It says, no, God will continue to be God. Man will continue to be man, but God will come upon man.
No way!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's so nice to have help. This is Wretched Radio. Ignore the help behind me. If you've been wondering, the voice of Mike, he's also the window cleaner. Hey, bro, how's it going back there? We started the show. Got a quiz question for you while Mike finishes cleaning the windows. The question is, which genre of Christian music? Thank you. Which genre of Christian music contains more references to the Trinity? Is it contemporary worship or the old-fashioned hymns? The answer is, you got one, Jimmy?
I was going to say the obvious answer.
Yeah, you'd go the classics.
No, I was going to say contemporary worship.
No, you would not. The window cleaner might, because he used to be one of them there youth worship leader fellows. See, that's what you get. If you are endeavoring to be a hip worship leader, you're going to end up like Mike. Surprisingly, according to a survey of contemporary Christian music and old school music, the classic hymns, neither does well in singing about the Trinity. I was kind of bummed about that. This is taken from Christianity Today. Yeah, I know. Nevertheless, like a blind knife that finds a squirrel in the drawer twice a day, the Trinity almost never comes up in the songs sung by American Christians. According to a new study of the 30 most popular hymns and the 30 most popular worship songs over the past 5 years, this is research from Southern Wesleyan University. In other words, the church has not done a bang-up job of singing about the Trinity ever. And that is a big no-no. Why? Because we believe in one God, three persons, but if we are not, I'm going to say it, indoctrinating our people with the biblical concept of the Trinity, we're not doing them any favors. Many people learn the majority of their theology through music, and that is apparently why they think God is pretty reckless and wet like an ocean, or something like that. That is the majority of theology that people will memorize. It's true, isn't it? You memorize more things through music. I will again challenge you. Name a sitcom song that you watched as a kid, and I'll bet you can sing it. Tell me what you read in your Bible yesterday, and I'm guessing you, like I, will go, I can't remember what I... All right, okay. Okay, last night I was reading John 16. There you go. But I had to think about it. Earlier today, we were talking about the Flintstones theme song, because we've got that kind of free time here. Do you know the lyrics to the Flintstones theme song? Actually, now that you're done washing the windows, Mike, do you know the lyrics to the Flintstones?
I think it's Flintstones, meet the Flintstones.
You're going to trip it up, and I'm going to tell you when. Keep going.
There's something.
Modern there. Stone Age Family.
Yeah, there you go.
Jimmy, can you help him?
Yabba dabba doo.
From the town of Bedrock, they're a place right out of history.
Yeah.
Let's ride with the family down the street. Here's the line nobody gets. Through the courtesy of Fred's 2 feet. Okay. What's in John 16? Verses? Stuff? I struggle. Music is a powerful tool to teach theology, and we would like our people to know more than the travel mode of the Flintstones. 16% of old hymns talk about the Father. 2% talk about the Holy Spirit. 68% talk about God the Son. But as far as singing about the Trinity, it is a whopping 3%.
Wow.
Contemporary worship, 7% about the Father. God the Holy Spirit, 5%. You would think it would be higher, nevertheless. 68% God the Son, 1% about the Trinity. That is a loss. For your consideration, a reminder that the doctrine of the Trinity is not just revealed in the New Testament. That's why we don't unhitch the Old Testament. For one of many reasons, courtesy of Dr. Abner Chow of Masters University. Very excited. I get to be out of Masters University in three weeks, I believe. We are going to be there to film, believe it or not, season two of Road Trip to Truth. Friel, you haven't even released season one. That's right. We haven't. But we are so confident that it is the bomb diggity that you are going to love it. That season two will be right around the corner. Can't wait to share season one with you eventually from Road Trip to Truth. Dr. Abner Chow, you know. I'd love to say that he's going to be a part of season two, but the man does not have his priorities straight. We invited him to be a part of season two of Road Trip to Truth, and he said, I'm sorry, I can't. I'm in the middle of translating the Bible.
Oh,
I mean, man. Come on. Come on!
Give us a little
Abner!
Of your time.
The Trinity from Genesis to Revelation. In Genesis, we have God making the world, the Spirit hovering over the water, and God speaking to create the world. In this, we observe God the Father and the Spirit, as well as even the Son, who is the Word of God, and John 1:1 confirms that. We see the Trinity in Genesis 1:1. It is not a New Testament concept, and that is why we unhitch the Old Testament to our own loss. Isn't it nice to know that these doctrines didn't just appear with red letters? They've always been spoken about. Let us make man in our image. Kind of hard to deny the plurals there, and I don't think it was a royal we. The Trinity was being spoken of, speaking, in Genesis 1. Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel, where language is confused. The triuneness of God is associated with and the basis for relationships, communication, and all that happens therein. Why do we have communication? Why do we have relationships? Because God communicates and God is in a relationship with himself. Reality is found in God. And if we do not teach the doctrine of the Trinity verbally or in song, we are not helping anybody understand reality. What is reality? Who determines reality? What is truth? Is God. It something that corresponds with reality? Or is it something that is merely defined and determined by association as if morality is determined in a ballot box? That somehow we as an association get together to determine truth? No, it's found in God. Truth is not locked in a vault. It is God's nature. And by the way, speaking of God's nature, I wonder if I could find this. This was so helpful. Have you ever wrestled with this verse and the many verses that talk about God is love? God, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who, that's how I know 1 John, but that's a Vacation Bible School song. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God. He who loves not God, for God is love. How do I know that verse? Because we sang it in Vacation Bible School. I didn't sing it well. I'm pretty certain I didn't find one note in pitch, but I still remember that verse.
That's how you learn the fruit of the Spirit too, isn't it?
No, I didn't learn that song through the fruit of the Spirit. I actually just grinded that one out. And you know, I want to know my selfish motivation for that? What's I'll be that? Honest with you.
Okay.
I wanted people to be impressed that I knew 9 things in a row.
It's pretty impressive there.
That's pretty sad is what that is. So God is love, and yet we see a God of wrath. Is God's nature wrathful? And the article that I'm scrambling for, that guy hadn't been in here cleaning the windows earlier, that that God is provoked to anger. God is not angry. God's character and nature, he's not got a component of wrath. He's provoked to it. God is a God of love. He is a warm-hearted God. He is a good God. And when he exhibits anger, it's not because he's an angry God, a simmering, stewing, oh, but part of here is love, the other part is anger. No, he is provoked to anger. You'll just have to trust me on the source of that verse. But God is also Trinitarian. Later in Genesis, God delivers messages to Hagar and Abraham via the angel of the Lord. We come to understand that figure as God because he speaks as God in each of these situations. At the same time, he is distinct from the Father. He's sent by God to speak. These are manifestations of God the Son, Christophanies in the Old Testament. Exodus 14, God looks down from heaven through the angel of the Lord. What is that? That's the Trinity. That's the Son. Numbers 11 also. The book of Isaiah, it talks about, it declares, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up. Later, Isaiah uses the same language to indicate that the one he saw on the throne is ultimately the suffering servant. Who's that? The Son. Why do we see both? Because God is both. God is Trinitarian. And then, of course, this doctrine is revealed more clearly, as so many things are, like the doctrine of hell. And substitutionary atonement is brought into crystal clear focus. But all of these themes are found already, maybe a bit fuzzier, in the Old Testament. So if you happen to be an aspiring songwriter, you've got two options. You can write good music that contains the Trinity, or you'll end up washing windows like Mike. Only choices. This is Wretched Radio.
This is me biting my tongue, introducing Paul Marty from Tomorrow Clubs.
Communism so wreaked havoc in the countries where we work that they not only need physical rebuilding, but they need spiritual rebuilding as well.
Would love to offer a political commentary, but instead would like to encourage you to support your very own Tomorrow Club. In Eastern Europe, they are still feeling the ravages of communism. And very few missionary organizations seem to find their way to the poorest of the poor nations in Eastern Europe. Tomorrow Clubs does. They teach the gospel to kids every week in kids' clubs. They meet in small, poor villages where they share the gospel. The kids get saved. They bring the gospel home, and moms and dads get saved. Please consider supporting your very own Tomorrow Club at tomorrowclub.org/wretched.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us here today on Wretched Radio. We are always appreciative of your time. And hey, listen, be on the lookout for a new resource from Wretched coming soon. You've heard us talk about it. It's on the way real soon. It's The Road Trip to Truth, which will be hosted by Millennial John Fabares. He's the son of Mike Fabares. These episodes will be tackling tough issues that millennials struggle with. Subjects like, why is there evil in the world? Is Jesus really God? What about the supposed errors in the Bible? Is there only one way to heaven? And many, many more. We want to reach the millennial generation, your kids and your grandkids, with the gospel, and you get to be a fly on the wall. 70% of kids leave their faith when they enter college, and together we can reach more and more people who are in desperate need of hearing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just one more reason for you to support Wretched. Visit wretched.org/donate. Wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
And now, a message from our brothers and sisters in China.
If I have 1 minute for American brothers and sisters, I just beg them to pray for the supply of the Bibles, and God will open the door for the Chinese people to hear the love of Christ.
The government of China tightening the screws, doing everything that they can to eradicate Christianity from their communist regime. Our brothers and sisters, they have a prayer. It is not that the persecution would stop. It is that they would receive the word of God. There are a paucity of Bibles in China, and we can change that and provide the word of God for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted, not just in China, but around the globe. Bible League International, $5 per Bible. Will you answer their prayer? Wretched.org/Bible.
Lexicon. Providence is the word we use to describe God's preserving, upholding, and governing of His creation. God sustains His creation day to day through ordinary means established at the beginning of time, and He intervenes in miraculous ways. In all things, God is working for His glory and for the good of those who love Him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friedman.
As always, right on time. This is Wretched Radio. Found the article, Five Ways God's Anger Is Not Like Ours. And all of God's people should say, whew, that is a relief. This is Wretched Radio from Unlocking the Bible. God's anger and your anger, regularly different. Let's be honest. Your anger, my anger, tends to fall more on the side of not righteous indignation, but just plain vengeful anger. Why? Because we're not God. Someday, we'll deal with our anger a whole lot better, and we will be angry at the right things. You and I will be rightly angry at people who are still in hell shaking a fist at God. They continue in their sin of rebellion and disbelief in hell, not to mention the angry, horrific thoughts they will retain about God for eternity. That demonstrates just the wickedness of man's heart, doesn't it? People who are in hell don't cry out, okay, I blew it. I'm really sorry. Please forgive me now. You're not going to hear that in hell.
Still angry.
Still angry. And that is the sinful type of anger. God has the right type of anger all the time. And one of the big differences that I just found really, really helpful when it comes to harmonizing, well, the Bible and God's character and nature is dealing with God's love, that God is a God of love. That is his face. That is his, the front, I think the marketers call it, that's the front-facing element of God. He's a God of love, benevolent, he's kind, he's good. And that's why when we read in the book of Exodus, the first time that God describes himself, word order is important in the Bible. And it starts out by God describing himself as the loving God, the God who forgives sinners, and he'll punish the unrighteous. There's a longer amount of time describing God as the loving, forgiving God. But he's also going to punish sinners. That's instructive for us. But how do we somehow put together in our noggins, and we don't always have to, because if we can figure out God, then we would be God, and that's clearly not the case.
But we try to do that all the time.
Well, we do, but we can't, and that is not a discouragement that God exists. It's actually an encouragement, because if we could figure out everything about God, then he wouldn't exist, because the greatest thing that we can imagine is, and if we can imagine if we can get it ourselves, then we's it and we're not. We can't understand God fully, and that doesn't mean he doesn't exist. That's the natural understanding of finite human beings. That's an encouragement he does exist. Nevertheless, how do you put together that God reveals his wrath, that he pours out his anger and his wrath for all of eternity? That God is angry with the wicked every day. Is God a God of anger? Is God a God of wrath? Well, got to be careful, because yes, he's a God of wrath in that he pours out his wrath, but is that his nature? I thought this was helpful. Do not forget, Deuteronomy 9:7, how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. In other words, God wasn't in heaven watching the wandering Jews and just simmering. They provoked him. He acted that way in response to their sinfulness and rebellion. It's not his constancy. It's not his ongoing position. He's a good God. He's a kind God. He's a loving God. I can't help but wonder if in our conservative circles, we have a tendency to downplay that. And we tend to upplay the wrath of God because it is so underplayed in so many evangelical circles. Hell is eternal separation from God. Hold the phone, Henrietta. It's eternal conscious torment. The separation is separation from anything good about God, his kindness, his benevolence. You are only getting his malevolence. You are not getting a benediction in hell. You're getting a malediction. You're getting the anger of God. It's not just separation like, well, I guess it would have been cool to hang with, I'm sorry, what is the Gen Z translation with Cap G? No. That's not what you get in hell. You get his wrath. And that's why that phrase, while it is biblical because we are separated from God, it is separated from the goodness of God. He will be pouring out his wrath forever on rebellious sinners. But that's not, if you will, got to be careful with this, his nature. He's not the simmering pot waiting to boil over.
Yeah, and there's many that think that God's just waiting for the opportunity to bring this wrath down upon us. And that's just not the case.
Well, especially if you're in Christ.
Right.
There's none of that. No, the jokes from Roman Catholics or people who used to be Roman Catholics, apparently they hear that a lot, that God is just kind of waiting to zap you and punish you for your sins. That is wrong. God disciplines and corrects. But Jesus was punished for our sins when we believe in him by faith alone. God is a God of love. His anger and his wrath are provoked. It is a response to evil. And that maybe will help you to perhaps spend more time, not exclusively, but more time remembering the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That's the relationship you're in with God. You're not in the relationship with God's wrath or his anger. You're never going to get any of that. You will never, ever, ever experience any of that. The best of dads can spank wrongly, too hard, wrong attitude, just kind of letting it, this kid, whack. God never does that. He doesn't delight in that. God doesn't find joy in discipling you, which I think is a better word than disciplining. Nevertheless, their roots are the same. You never face that aspect of God as a Christian. Have you pondered that much? I wonder again, I don't want to get all Freudian, but how many people didn't grow up with a dad who was nice? Anybody, can I see a show of hands? Anybody? You guys have good dads? Did you have good dads?
No one is good, Todd.
Okay.
No, not one.
Okay, you maybe don't want to admit it. I can. Yeah. Bad dad. Okay, bad dad.
Yeah.
I didn't get the experience of a good dad. And maybe that's your case, too. So you struggle with imagining that God actually, not to get all goopy here, God adores you. Why? Because he adores his son and you're in Christ. Can you just spend some time thinking about that? Regarding God's anger, why it's not like yours and mine, Psalm 103. See if you can pick it up. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger.
There it is.
And abounding in love. I don't know about you. I'm quick to anger. That's why I'm not like God in this regard. I just give me a reason. I have no problems. Something just boiling up inside of me. You want to know what the subject is within the last week? Can you recall the subject within the last week here on Wretched Radio that makes my blood boil?
Cool Carl.
Not him, but just the whole concept.
Yeah.
Of youth group nuttiness.
You flip just a switch.
Ooh. I'd like to think it's righteous indignation, and there might be some of that in there, but I'm very quick to just get mad about that.
Well, Todd, you're not God.
Exactly. Number 3, God's wrath is revealed now. Did you know that? Romans 1:18, even now, God's wrath is revealed from heaven. When you see something bad happen to an unregenerate sinner, not to a Christian, God does not pour out his wrath on you, beloved, ever. You are God's beloved. He never pours out his wrath on you. You never have to worry about a backhand from God. But that does not mean that he's not now pouring out his wrath on unregenerate sinners. Now, today, not just in hell. You're going to do it there. But now, Romans 1:18 says so. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. When you see something terrible happen to unregenerate sinners, it should make you shake and quake. You are seeing God's wrath revealed. You're getting a glimpse into hell on earth. Number 4, God's wrath is stored up. Because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. Okay, God is righteous all the time. That's a part of his nature. God is love. God is righteous. God is holy. God is just. God is good. He's provoked to anger. and he's storing up that anger for the day of wrath. Number 5, John 3:36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on that person. God's wrath is aimed at unregenerate sinners, which brings us to anger truth number 6. God's wrath was poured out for you, sinner. Jesus took the worst of the worst for you. And are we therefore to focus on God's wrath on the cross? Yes, we are. But that wrath points toward his great love in that he died for us while we were yet sinning. The cross, it does remind us of God's anger, but supremely it points toward his love, which is his nature. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Higgs. Well, China's communist government has expanded its ban on Christian funerals in recent months, continuing to use laws prohibiting religious activities outside of churches to also outlaw religious-themed ceremonies for the dead, according to a new report. The first report of its kind came out in January with examples of bans on Christian funerals in the provinces of Henan, Hubei, and Xinjiang. But in August, a new report says the prohibition on Christian funerals had continued to spread throughout those regions and also was being implemented in the process of Liang. The Ethnic and Religious Affairs Committee of Liang issued the order banning private religious activities outside of religious venues and says that funeral homes can be inspected under the order. In other areas of persecution, police in eastern India have threatened to arrest Christians for disturbing the peace if their worship draws more opposition after recent attacks. Complaining that Christian prayers have driven away their nature-based gods, tribalists have repeatedly attacked 12 Christian families since the Christians left their traditional religion 2 years ago. These 55 to 60 Christians have been sheltering together each night for the past 6 months, fearful of more assaults after villagers burned their makeshift church structure in March and beat men, women, and children in July. A sad, sad world we are living in, especially with this report. Disturbing figures are coming out of the Danish Central Cytogenetic Registry and are confirming that only 18 babies with Down syndrome were allowed to be born in Denmark in 2018. Michael Robinson, who's the Director of Communications for the Society for the Protection of Unborn Children, was quoted as saying that weeding out and killing unborn children who may have a disability is a brutal and barbaric form of discrimination which has no place in a civilized society. Each human, regardless of ability, has a right to life. Amen. In 2004, Denmark became the first country in the world to introduce free prenatal Down syndrome screening. Since the introduction of that screening regime, the number of babies born with Down syndrome has significantly declined. In 2018, 22 babies in Denmark were born with Down syndrome. The most recent records from the DCCR have now confirmed that this figure has declined further to a mere 18 lives birthed in 2019. According to the Danish National Board of Health, 95% of pregnant women who discover that their unborn baby could have a chromosomal abnormality, such as Down syndrome, has an abortion. Again, a sad, sad world we're living in. More Wretched Radio still to come. I'm Jimmy Higgs.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. When we were dead in sin and unrighteousness, God provided the righteousness he requires in Jesus Christ, our substitute. If God has provided for our salvation, how much more is he able to meet our daily needs? This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Convenience or character? That is the question of the 21st century. This is Wretched Radio. Okay, there's other questions. It's not the question. It's not the only question, but it's a question that you and I would do well to ask. We breathe the air of our culture. Every generation does. You don't know you are. When was the last time you went, excuse me, I'm breathing? You just do it and you drink in. I'm mixing my metaphors. What surrounds you, what you view, what goes into your body via your eyes, via your ears, via your mouth. you have different taste buds and preferences based on the food that you consumed as a child in your culture. And that is something that we must examine. What is the era of our culture in the 21st century? I would suggest to you, among other things, convenience. It's all about quick and easy and making my life better. Who lived better? You or King Solomon?
Oof.
The answer, that's a no-brainer. You and I live better than King Solomon. Did he have more money? Yes. No doubt he had more than all of us put together.
And he was a king.
Yep. But was his quality of life better than yours? No. King Solomon would have to go, hey, can the girl with the fans, could you wave it a little faster? Okay, slow it. Okay. And then he walked around. Where's the fan guy? I'm a little hot in here. You and I walk up to the wall and go, what is it now? 73. Who can endure? Let me just turn that knob. 72 is so much better for me. That's our life. Water. And then we sit there and complain. How long does it take to get hot water up here? How long do we have to wait for the shower to run? Huh? Really? Why don't we get one of those things? What is it? Hot water on demand? I think that's what it's called. Hot water on demand, where you just somehow you just automatically get the hot water.
Yeah.
How does that work? I'm curious.
I have no idea.
You got a hot water heater. It's keeping the water hot, but it's got to push it through. Is it like water stored next to your shower? Are there gerbils in there on a wheel keeping the stuff hot? How does that work exactly? Nevertheless, what an invention. And if you'd like to know what kind of a knucklehead you are listening to right now, Todd, actually, we wouldn't. It's going to undermine anything that you're about to say. Nevertheless, I can reveal to you how dumb I am, courtesy of a water heater. You see, it was a number of years ago. We first got married, moved into a house. I hadn't lived in one. We were apartment people. Thanks for bringing up such a painful memory. Maybe you'd like to give me a paper cut and pour lemon juice in it. But my wife, nevertheless, lived in a home. And in Minnesota, you know this. The water is hard. The water is like, it's like shale that's somehow been turned into liquid, but not really well. And so she said, we've got to get a water softener. I didn't know what it was, but I said, yes, dear. We get the thing installed. It's unbelievable. Have you ever like gone from hard water to a water softener? It's like, man, this water's incredible.
They're great.
So we're enjoying this amazing water, taking showers. Well, I don't need lotion. It's January in Minnesota, man. That water softener, best investment we've ever had. So 3 weeks go by. Mrs. Friel says, did you put more salt in the water softener? And I, being a complete noob. Noob?
There you go.
Contemporary and cool.
Catching on.
What salt in the water softener? The water won't get soft. Why would you put salt in? Well, that's the way it works. So I go downstairs, open it up, and it's like, well, the salt, it's right up to the line. Okay. We go back to taking our amazing showers. A month goes by. Did you check for the salt? So I go down, really in pretty much the same place. It's all looking good. She said, no, something's wrong. You use salt to soften the water. So what do? We call up the installer in a huff. Hey, something apparently is wrong with our water softener that we find to be absolutely amazing. It's not using as much salt as we should. So the guy comes out to discover it wasn't plugged in.
But you had a...
those showers.
Oh, but it was the best.
Incredible. Convenience after convenience after convenience. What do you want for dinner tonight? Huh? You just have to go kill dinner and then skin it or pluck it if you could have meat, or grow it, which meant tilling the soil, planting it, watering it, chasing away the vermin.
Okay, you've convinced me. We have a better life.
It's a better life. We have excelled in convenience. But what about character? May I ask you a question, Christian? With all of the ease and the convenience that we have, which should free us up to do other things, why isn't it that we have a program for developing character? Now, as a Christian, we want to be careful, because Christianity isn't merely about character development, but it's not about that. We want to be growing. What kind of character? We want the character of Christ. What's our plan? What are we doing to develop character? We should have the free time. People used to work from sun up till sundown and afterwards, or they died. We have convenience and we work so tirelessly to make our lives more convenient, don't we? We go shopping. Not in person, of course. You ordered online. Otherwise, you have to wear the face diaper. Nevertheless, we spend so much time just trying to fix our lives to make sure that it's just easy today. What are we doing with our character? Perhaps this will help. Don't skim. Don't skim. Stop reading the Bible like you are a flat stone, just upon the surface. In other words, start meditating on the Bible. It's going to change you. I'm telling you, it will change you. Remember 2 Corinthians 1 through 5? You have got walls built up in your brain, and they're bad walls. They're fortified with lies. The rebar that runs through the walls that you have built around your brain, they are fortified with lies from the devil, who has been a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And you consume, you drink it in. You just consume it. The music, the movies, the TV, the billboards that you just get it. And you get it. And you drink it in. And you breathe it in. And it forms you. And it builds up walls. And you got to tear them down. How? What's the battering ram that God provides? It's the Word of God. To trash and smash them and break them down and then build them back up with truth. And if you're not taking the time to do that, it's not going to happen. So many Christians, because I think we live in this culture that is so focused on convenience and quick that we just fix me.
You scroll through social media and it's the short bursts that you get.
But just
that's
fix
why we
me.
Skip.
Just make it snappy. No, it doesn't work that way. Well, I read my Bible. I even memorized a verse. It was that John 3 something thing about God and the world and things. Whoa, if we are going to develop character, it takes time to do that. The difference between idle pursuit of cheap information and a lifelong commitment to wisdom. Make sure that you've made that commitment. And that you set aside some of the time that you now have, courtesy of the advancements of the 21st century, to grow and to become wise, not smart. Here's the truth of the... Okay, I'll tell you what. Oh, man. This is the proverbial fool speaking rashly. Here's the reality. I don't need to see another dog rescued, okay? I don't need to see another Facebook video in my little feed scroll thingy, however that works, of another dog that's emaciated that gets rescued from the streets of Bombay. Don't need to see it. If I would replace that time that I use, you know, justifying, and sometimes it is justifiable for downtime, to focus on my character by reading my Bible and spending time thinking like God, consuming His wisdom thoughtfully, meditatively, when I get up from that same chair that I would sit at to watch that scrawny dog come back to life, I'll be better off for it. And so will my family, yep. By the way. The advantages of having immediate access to such an incredibly rich store of information are many, and they've been widely described and duly applauded. But that boon comes at a price. And what the net seems to be doing is chipping away my capacity for concentration and contemplation. My mind now expects to take in information the way the net distributes it, zippity bang quick, in a swiftly moving stream of priorities. Once I was a scuba diver in the sea of words. Now I zip along the surface like a guy on a jet ski. Does that describe you? It's from Daniel Darling. By the way, maybe, just maybe, we need to break that mentality, going on a fruitful quest for knowledge and not passing the time or not just killing the time. Or, got to be careful, there are times you can be pooped. I get it. You need a little brain break. But as much as, do I really need 17 dog videos a day? Do I need that many dog videos? I could cut back to 7. Okay, I don't need any of them. Take a look. at your convenient life. I'll take a look at mine. What could we chop out that is frivolous and wasteful? How can we utilize the time that God has already provided for us in our convenient society to become a man or woman of Christ-like character? This is Wretched Radio.
Suicide, typically an uncomfortable topic to talk about, but it's one we need to talk more about because it's the third leading cause of death among Gen Zers. This generation has the highest reported levels of clinical anxiety and depression than any other generation at the same age. Today's youth need help, and that's why Wretched has come out with our newest booklet, 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide and 13 Reasons Why You Should Live. Find your copies right now at wretched.org/13. This booklet targets the heart of anyone struggling with the issues of depression, anxiety, and suicide. You may not realize it, but you know someone who's dealing with these issues right now. And 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide will provide them with the biblical answers for the struggles that they're facing. Find your copies right now at wretched.org/13. Give these booklets away to someone who need hope. wretched.org/13. That's wretched.org/13.
What does $28 buy these days? Well, for starters, it buys an ultrasound. More importantly, it buys a life.
My pregnancy was unplanned. Abortion was in the back of my mind, but seeing my baby girl moving and hearing the heartbeat, it was so overwhelming. We can't wait to welcome our baby girl into this world.
That is one grateful mommy, and I'm certain it will be one grateful baby who was given life because you provided a free ultrasound through preborn.org/wretched. $28 will provide an ultrasound 80% of the time. A mommy who is choosing the termination of her own child will choose life. Will you please consider supporting this very efficient and life-saving ministry that preaches the gospel? Preborn.org/wretched.
When I say gospel, you say partner. Okay? You ready? Here we go. Gospel? Can't hear you. Let's try it again. Gospel. Hello. Is this mic on? Try it again. Gospel. That's right. My fault. My bad. I'm sorry. This is radio, so I can't actually hear you respond. But here's what I'm trying to say. When you become a gospel partner, you're helping Wretched spread the good news to people all across the world. See, every dollar you give is carefully stewarded away. If you're already a gospel partner, then let me tell you how extremely grateful to you that we are. We can't do what we do without you. And if you're not a gospel partner already, would you prayerfully consider becoming one? To become a gospel partner, just visit wretched.org/donate. Or to make it easier, you can text wretched to the number 44321. That's wretched.org/donate or text wretched to the number 44321.
Know your church fathers. Irenaeus was an apologist and disciple of Polycarp, who was a disciple of the Apostle John. He served as the Bishop of Lyon and wrote against heresies, a refutation of Gnosticism and Docetism, in which he demonstrated the coherence and necessity of the Incarnation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't get too excited. Friel, that's never happened on this program. This is Wretched Radio with, count 'em, one entertainment news story about you, perhaps. Listen, do you hear that sound? It's John Tesh counting his money.
John Tesh.
He wrote that song, don't you know? Is he still professing to be a Christian? I sure hope so. I met him a number of years ago. Wow.
Y'all were about the same height.
Like a lot of number of years. Didn't he go through, I think he had cancer, but he survived that, if I'm not mistaken.
You're correct.
Cool. He wrote that theme song. Would like to share with you one entertainment news story that perhaps describes you carefully. Need to be really, really careful how this gets presented, because this would be a ditch, a ricochet from a life of strict rule keeping, which ain't bad. It's not the only thing. Got to be motivated rightly. But frequently, when people are not experiencing joy, or they're not having much assurance, or they're feeling the weight of the law, it's because they don't get any teaching or preaching about the goodness of God, the love of God, how secure you are in Christ Jesus, and they find themselves on a treadmill, which eventually leads to exhaustion and certainly doesn't make you happy forever. And that appears to be the case of one Jessa Duggar Seewald, of course, the Duggar family. I'm not sure where she fits in the chronology of these 73 kids now. I haven't been counting with them, but I think they're still going, aren't they?
The original parents, I think they're done.
19?
Yeah, 19.
Have those shows proliferated, by the way? Because you saw some spinoffs from that.
Yeah, there's still a spinoff.
It's the other Duggars. I know that.
Right.
Yeah. Because there's other Duggars that have their own TV shows. I'm talking about just the concept. When a network finds a model that works, hey, that huge family, those homeschoolers, find more of those. And then there was another family, and there was a huge scandal, if I recall, about the dad in that family. So I wonder if they're still making this format or whatever this formula is. Nevertheless, I think they still have a TV show. Jessa Duggar Seewald says she was in a spiritual depression due to unrealistic expectations of Christian life. Can you see the ditch coming up? Can you see it? She was trying hard to do Christian things, and she was feeling exhausted, calling it, quote, spiritual depression. So now the natural place would be, don't worry about anything. And that's the wrong response, too. And it seems that she's found her footing. And maybe this will help you, too. Apparently, this was in People magazine. They're still in business. You know who I saw in the grocery store? Well, I didn't see him. Well, I did. It was his image. Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson is now making it on magazine covers. And this particular one said he's the most hated talk show host in America. Wow. Yep. I don't doubt that. I'm telling you. I not that I know the fellow. We don't talk. I worry about him and his family. I'm telling you. I watch some of his monologues.
Well, he gets threatened quite a bit.
I can't imagine the Marxist Party, which is what we're just going to call it from now on, because that's being honest. The Marxist Party, that they are happy with that fellow. And we know that Marxism is willing to hurt people because that's what they do. And that's what we're seeing in the streets. We are not seeing predominantly racial wars. We're seeing government wars. We're seeing society war. We're seeing capitalism versus socialism. We're seeing representative republic versus Marxism. And I'm with the way that Tucker Carlson is just banging it. Yikes. Nevertheless, People magazine featured Jessa Duggar Seewald. I appreciate that they at least talked about this stuff. Quote, I felt a bit dry in my relationship with the Lord. I didn't have drive to be in God's word. This is another tricky one. This was a good movement inside of evangelical Christianity. Read the word. Read the word. You got to be in the word. Get a reading program. You've got to have quiet time. You've got to dedicate so much time every day. Are those things good? Absolutely they are. Now the problem is because so many people chafed under it because they didn't understand the correct motivation for it. You know what the whiplash response is. Don't do any of it. Don't do that. It appears that Jessa has found her footing on this. It seems like she's following some good teachers here, but we want to be really, really careful that if this experience that she had describes you, don't run to nothing. We still want to be obedient, but we must understand motivation. Back to the People magazine article. I didn't have a drive to be in God's word. I wasn't praying like I should. Here it is. Whiplash. Ditch, 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 ditch. Hey, are you praying? Are you praying? How much are you praying? Now, the Puritans would tell you, I will tell you the state of your soul by how you pray and how much you pray. And that's a good word. And that's right. That is correct. We are praying people. But so often we commanded people to pray without giving them the correct rocket fuel to launch them off of the prayer pad. And so they did it. They did it. This is what you do. This is what you do. This is what you do. And it wasn't about Christ. It wasn't about sufficiency in Him. And the privilege that we have to talk to God, are you kidding me? We get to talk to God? Wow. You're bummed out because you don't get to talk to famous people who are going to die and rot in a box. You get to talk to God. That's the joy of prayer. Don't fall into a ditch. She admitted to people, quote, I could see this goal of where I wanted to be in my relationship with the Lord, and I wasn't there. Can't be careful enough with this. Should you desire more holiness? Yes. But if all you're doing is focusing on how to become more holy, you're not going to get there, ever. And you're not going to enjoy the ride. And you're only most likely going to clean up the outside of the cup. That's not Christianity. Don't fall into that ditch. Instead, learn about your God because He's the best thing. Now, here might be the problem. At the moment, you don't think that, or maybe you haven't digested that. So how do you get that into your heart, that God's the best thing, who is worthy of your obedience, prayer, and Bible reading? How do you do it? You read your Bible and pray and spend time with Him. Well, that's circular, man. Yeah, go ahead. Fine. It's circular. That's how it works. In order to love the Lord more, you have to know Him more. And to know Him rightly and more, you have to love Him. So if you are not involved in that circle and that cycle, you are doing it wrong. And you're not going to be a cheerful Christian. You're going to be a Pharisee, and you're going to be miserable. And that's what she describes in this article. I feel like I had a burdened down conscience and an unspiritual expectation. Yes, she wrote or said to people who wrote, we should prioritize time in the Word. But I had taken it a step too far, and I was hinging whether or not I was a good Christian on if I had a good quiet time with God. Now, here's the irony. That could be a sign. But that isn't the ditch that she seems to have fallen into. She had made that the goal of Christianity. The goal of Christianity is Christ. It is not our duty. Our duty should be motivated by delight. Another ditch. Make no mistake about it. Duty is better than disobedience. Delight is better in our duty. We should be rightly motivated. If you're not, do it anyway. But that's not the ideal. And if that's all you're doing, you're probably a pretty miserable Christian. She also has taken comfort. Here's a plug for you. I actually have this book sitting on my desk. Doc Mike. In fact, Mike. Don't confuse Mike
that's
with
not me.
Doc Mike. A different Doc Mike here. He said, oh, this is such a helpful book that he gave to me when he joined us here at Wretched, was Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones' Spiritual Depression, Its Causes and Cure. Jessa Duggar said that really helped her. I haven't read it yet. I'm gonna, but would encourage you. It comes on good recommendation. Besides, it's written by Martin Lloyd-Jones. Spiritual Depression, Its Causes and Cure. Now, you're going to read that book, and if you are not used to reading serious theology, you better brace yourself, because it isn't flowery. Dear Christian, is your heart heavy today? Oh, I've got something for you that will be a balm to your soul. Not quite like that with Martin Lloyd-Jones. Here it is. Here's truth. Consume it. And as you consume it, you will love it. And you'll love the Lord more. Quote from Jessa. I didn't have gospel rest. I wasn't resting in my justification. I wasn't resting in with what Christ did for me. What was she resting in? Her performance. Should you be performing for the Lord? Yes, but it should be a rest that is rooted in the fact that you are secure in Christ. You're not earning it. You're not improving your status. You can't do that. You can't make God happier with you than He already has you in His eyesight because you are in Christ. So if you happen to be where Jessa Duggar apparently was, make sure you find your balance. Be obedient. Do your prayer time. Do your quiet time. Do your Bible reading. But do it with your eyes on Christ. And let Him be your motivation to study Him more and more. And you will have spiritual joy. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.